nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together than the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is the home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sack, Slash, and Super Sam Ross always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
Welcome to an off-season edition of Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler here in Philadelphia. Before we get started, please make sure you rate, review, subscribe, and of course, download the show on the iHeart mobile app, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We are back in studio where we belong. Before I get to the panel here, let's do a little bit of business. Green Legion Radio is brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer, Michelob Ultra, the entire Bud Light family. Stateside Vodka and Bourbon right here in Philadelphia, the Dave Bergusso State Farm in the tri-state area, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, MCS Residential and Custom Cabinetry. Hey, Sack, how's that new bathroom treatment?
Awesome. Yeah, we actually had Len out today, being Thursday. We had Len out along with the cabinet specialist because we're getting our kitchen done now from them. So,
wow, Sack's a believer in MCS.
Damn right I am. If you go to our social media accounts and you see the photos, you'll believe why.
Also, of course, our friends at Twin Spires. Hey, if there's some sporting events coming up here, it's March. We've got some football stuff. We got some NBA stuff. We got baseball, finally. We're going to get to all that today. This is Philly Mike, Shut Up Diaz. I am going to be hosting the show until Quimby shows up. He should be here in a little bit.
But until he does,
I'll be handling the hosting duties. I'd like to introduce the illustrious panel right here to my left. I haven't seen this guy in so long. He's a big backer of the Major League Baseball owners. He believes Carson Wentz is a god. Our good friend, Chris Sack, Reggie, the Sackmaster. Reggie. Ooh-ah. Reggie's always last. It's okay. This is off the top of my head. We haven't been together in so long. How you doing, Sack?
I'm doing great. Baseball is back, which means Baseball Brunch should be back on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler and the iHeartRadio app. I was texting with Murph earlier today. We are excited. However, after speaking to our illustrious leader, we do need sponsors for this upcoming season. So if we're going to be back on the radio again this year, Murph and myself, which is going to be interesting this year because Murph is going to be on the road with the team. He's going to be doing pre and post. He's going to be doing some play-by-play. So we're still looking at our time slot being 11 to 12 on Sundays. So it's going to be interesting. If he's out in the West Coast in San Diego or San Francisco and I'm broadcasting at 11, he's up at 8. He's not a morning person, by the way. It should be interesting. But nonetheless, we'd love to be back this season. We're expecting to be back. We need sponsors. Make sure you guys hit us up. Or you can just simply email quimby@greenlegion.com and inquire, and he'll give you all the details about sponsoring Baseball Brunch in the 2022 Major League Baseball season.
Next to Sack, a good friend, salesman slash...
The salesman.
The gobbler, Kyle Nonnemaker. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Baseball is back, and I'm excited for Baseball Brunch, but the Philly side of things,
Depends.
It's going to be another mediocre
season. We'll get to that. The CBT had gone up a whole lot, so maybe they'll spend a little bit more money and make the playoffs this year.
Stupid money?
Yeah.
If you really want to get stupid, though, okay, let's be honest. I know we're going to elaborate more on this later, but the floodgates for the people that are still remaining on the free agent market, it's going to be interesting because they have to report, or they start reporting on Sunday, March 13th. They open up spring training on the 14th, and then baseball is set to open on Thursday, April 7th. This is going to hit real fast. These big name players that are still left out there, the free agent-wise, it is going to get insane over this next week. It's going to be awesome.
We are recording on Thursday, March 10th. There's nothing going on in Philadelphia sports tonight.
Nothing.
No, but you guys will be hearing this on Saturday. So, hey, some of those big-time Phillies baseball free agents, they might be off the table by the time you're hearing this. Next to Slash.
Not next to Slash.
Across from Slash, kind of in the other room.
Next to you. Next
closer
you.
Than needs to be. Our intern, Super Sam Brady. Sam,
no, we dropped the Brady.
Oh, it is? Sam Rogers?
Sam Rogers.
I'll take that over Brady.
I thought we were going to get Big Sam in the studio today.
Oh, I should have told him.
He's gambling.
He is gambling, though.
But he has Twin Spires. He can gamble from here.
That's true. He does, and that is true.
But it's not poker.
Correct.
So we haven't had Quimby in studio. He'll be here, and we don't know exactly when.
Maybe the top of the hour.
Maybe the top of the hour. He's on his way. There's traffic. The president or someone's down at Independence Hall. I got stuck in it, too. But you've been spending a lot of time with our illustrious leader. I've used illustrious twice already. How's that going?
It's going well. It's not bad.
Has he been treating you nice?
Yes, of course.
Why don't you talk a little bit about the show? Right on cue show.
Yes, right on cue. It's interesting. It's a lot of him complaining about things. It's a lot of
shocker.
No. Can you tell us something that's different about this show?
No. Yeah, we have people who pop. We have people come in into the show via Zoom, via StreamYard.
Yeah, Rob Aliva is getting his shameless plugs in for his show. I'm sure
we have people who actually come in to give their opinion. We have Adam's always in there, and he's hysterical. So it's good time.
Adam's a good guy. He's got a lot of comments, a lot of thoughts, a lot of takes.
And they are funny. I've fallen out of my chair twice.
So for today's show, we were talking about this earlier in the week, and we're like, man, we got the combine and draft process. Like,
smack the hell out of you when you text us about that.
There's not a whole lot of NFL. And then in the last three, four, five days, man, the NFL has been exploding.
Awesome.
So if any news breaks on Friday or later on tonight about the NFL, we've got everything covered until then. We'll get there. A little Green Legion news and notes, of course. Early bird deposits are available for all of our 2022 trips.
Where are you going this year, Diaz?
We got Arizona. Hopefully it's in Scottsdale. Chicago, Houston, Indianapolis, Detroit, Dallas, and D.C. D.C. has always been like the worst trip. This year it might be one of the best ones.
Well, if Quimby does club level again next year, I think I'll be going back. Because club level was awesome. Even in that complete dump, club level was just great.
I might go back. We're going to get to our good friend from 2016. The 2016.
I was asking you where you were going. Out of these cities, where are you going?
Well, if Arizona's in Scottsdale, Arizona is the trip. Arizona and Chicago are the ones that I am targeting.
Chicago needs to be September
or October. I mean, I know the Phillies are in there in September.
Yeah, in September, dip. That'd be awesome.
A double dip. That's good. But Chicago is always a great time. Great food, great music, great people. It's the nicest big city in America. Beautiful ladies. They all go to Chicago. It's a nice spot to go. I mean, we're out of the business. Slash is in love too.
Slash is in love too.
Beautiful ladies.
Sam, beautiful ladies.
In Chicago.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
Are their names Rex? Or Jeff?
Now, the second item here on Green Legion News and Notes, we can't tell you exactly what's happening right now, but the Phillies are going to be playing baseball in April. Opening day was supposed to be April 8th. They canceled that last week. The next series was going to be canceled tomorrow.
Opening day was supposed to be March 30th.
We're talking about the Phillies home opener. March 31st.
March 31st. It was supposed to be the day that they opened up. They canceled that last week. And then Wednesday night, they decided that they were going to cancel the second week of the season. Now it looks like baseball is going to be back. So it looks like the Phillies home opener, unless they push it up to Thursday, April 7th, it's still going to be Friday, April 8th. So, which is actually going to be the opener for baseball as a whole, instead of them opening up with a 6-game stint on the road. Nonetheless, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping that we're going to have a baseball brunch broadcast live from the tailgate at Xfinity Live 1100 Social, our home, during the season. So it would be a lot of fun to have Murph and myself down there. But yes, Diaz, opening day is going to be sick. It's always the best. I mean, like, unless it's playoff baseball, it's the best day at the ballpark. It's it's the guaranteed day out of the year where you're going to have a sellout crowd down there. It's going to be bedlam. It's going to be
remember
awesome.
When every game was a sellout crowd? Yeah. Let's hope we get back there.
It's been a long time.
On top of all that good stuff about opening day, listen, there's no mask mandate in the city anymore. Everyone's boosted up. Everyone's healthy again.
Vaccination cards.
Vaccination. Yep. You don't need any of that stuff now. We're going to all get back together. We'll be outside, too. So if that's a concern, we're outside on the patio there. Let's get the gang back together. We haven't tailgated for 3 months. I guess by that point, the Dallas game. What a great reason. Spring will be sprung. It'll be a Friday. Take the day off. And I want it to be April 8th because I'm starting to get questions online about, I bought game tickets through you guys. What do we do now that it's canceled? Oh, well, let's keep that date so those tickets.
Did Quibi give you that responsibility too while he was gone? You have to answer all the email inquiries?
Do you think Quibi communicates with me on a regular basis when he's not in town? I'll have to touch base with him whenever he shows up here. But let's start off with the NFL. Is there anything going on in the NFL?
No.
No, not really.
Pretty quiet.
We've had some big, big news come through this week. I've been excited to talk to you guys. Sam, if you have an opinion, maybe I'll be interested in hearing that. Let's just start with our man. We're going to get in a little sack battle later on about this guy. But Carson Wentz, our longtime friend, Carson Wentz, the Eagles used how many picks to move up to get him back in 2016. He had a breakout 2017 year, cut short by injury. 2018 was forgettable, got hurt again.
Two players,
2019 was a decent performance by him in spite of all the injuries around him. 2020 was the worst quarterback in the league. Traded to the Indianapolis Colts. We got a first-round pick out of that and a second last year or third. It was a third.
Well, it was a third last year, which they used to move up those couple spots to get Devontae Smith.
That's right.
And then it was supposed to be a second, but because he hit all the markers last year, it moved up to a first-round pick, which is the 16th pick of the draft.
So Carson Wentz was traded to our good friends down the street, the Washington – I'm going to always say the Washington Commodes. We could say Commanders if we want. We could say Commies. I like Commodes because they play in a toilet. It's the name fits. Is that fair?
I mean, yeah. Listen, there's so many things about that franchise. I saw something yesterday. I think it was Joe Banner that posted on Twitter. Why would they give up that many picks to get him? The thing is, what you have to understand is if they didn't make the trade, if they didn't get what they were looking for, the Colts, that is, they would have released him, and then he would have had probably – listen, let's be realistic here. There's about 15 teams in the NFL minimum that are probably looking for their guy that haven't drafted a recent guy or don't have their current guy. So for Carson Wentz, and then you eliminate the Eagles just by – Eagles and Colts just by, you know, default. But he's like, why would they do that? Well, you traded away two third-round picks. If he would have hit the open market, there is no chance on God's green earth he's going there as a free agent. There's so many other better options for him to go to. They had to do what they did to get him in the building. I don't blame the football team for whatever they did. I saw something also so this is the lineage of how things happened with Washington. Originally, a few weeks ago, they reached out to the Kansas City Chiefs to test the markets on Pat Mahomes. They probably got laughed off the phone by Andy Reid.
What? That's fake news.
Apparently, this is what I saw. I didn't even know it either
until I didn't hear this.
Yeah. But apparently, they reached out and they asked about that. Then they almost landed Russell Wilson, but I don't think the Seahawks want to keep him in the NFC.
That's what they said, which is okay. You know, sure.
I also think he wanted to stay on the West Coast.
I don't think Russell Wilson would want to go to DC.
Yeah,
or anybody.
The opportunity to win.
Dan Snyder? What? Come on.
Yeah, that's my point. You got a crappy owner, a crappy stadium, a crappy fan base, and I've used other terms to describe these three things. Why would he want to go there? They did what they had to do. I mean, they settled for a quarterback, but you're going to draft another guy. You're going to go Taylor Heineke. You're going to try and bring back Fitzmagic again next year. They had to make this deal. He was the best available quarterback out there. I mean, probably cheaper than Jimmy G winds up being too.
You know, so you like this deal for Washington.
They're taking his whole salary, correct?
Yeah, they're taking his whole salary.
Yeah.
So no dead money for Indianapolis. Kudos to Indianapolis for realizing that he wasn't going to be a fit there long term.
But where do they go now?
You're saying this is a good move for Washington because all the reasons you just stated, which is fair. I think you are overvaluing Carson.
I'm not overvaluing.
Well, hold on for a second.
Two third round picks isn't that bad of a deal to be made.
They were bidding against nobody. They were bidding against nobody.
Okay, last year we were bidding. What the Colts were bidding against nobody.
But you're coming from a point that Carson Wentz is a competent quarterback, and a lot of news.
27-7 last year.
Hold up, I understand your point. Now it's my turn to make my point. Okay, I always agree with me. You know that. Here's the other side.
No doubt about that.
Did you see Jeff McClain's report this week about the Super Bowl year? How you had to be separated.
That's old news.
He had to be. He didn't.
That's old news. That was already been known. You're reading an article from like 2 years ago.
No.
Yes.
The news that came.
That's been known that him and Sproles got into it. Like, I don't know where you've been. What planet you
that he was upset you been on? That he was upset at the Eagles run?
They said that.
They've never said that. That's never been officially
recorded. I can pull up an article and find it for you.
You can do that. You do that during the break.
That's been knowledge. That's why Sam's shaking her head at you. She's laughing.
I'm just laughing at the both of you.
That is brand new news. Also, in Indianapolis, they knew before the end of the season that he was out. That was also reported. Frank Reich apologized to the owner for vouching for.
Okay.
Right? So you're like,
apologize to the owner or get fired. I mean, which one do you want to do?
Well, hold up for a second. But you're saying like all of these things, this might be Wentz's last year in the league. He's not going to be a backup.
He'll be a backup.
You think
there's no way he's going to be a backup.
Sam Bradford could have been a backup. He's not going to be
a
backup.
There's so much need
for quarterback. He's so much ego, and he's such an ego. No, I'm saying he will not accept a job as a backup.
And I don't think he should, because there is going to be a place, even if it's the worst team in the league,
correct,
that he's going to start at quarterback. Okay, so there's no way, especially with his ego, like you said, there's no way he's going to be a backup anywhere. And I don't think he should be.
So who's the worst team in the league?
Detroit.
There's so many.
But they got Goff.
Yep. Wouldn't that be great if Carson was backing up Goff?
Well, look at Seattle. Who do they got? Drew Lock?
Yeah, but apparently they're positioning themselves. We're going to dive into
that. I mean, right
next.
Now. I'm just saying
They're positioning themselves for Deshaun.
Yeah.
That's what they
but
want.
But it's
they
so
want
funny
Deshaun
because there's so much mixed reaction coming out of Indy, because Darius Leonard came out and, you know, took a shot at ownership, basically, saying 5 quarterbacks in 5 years.
That's my guy.
Here we go again.
Good luck, my guy.
Yeah, so it's
what a terrible teammate.
Is it ownership? Is it Carson Wentz? I mean,
I don't understand. Listen, you've stated
it both.
I don't understand Carson Wentz, how there can be any defenders here. The guy who was going to resurrect him, his best 13-game stretch, which thank you, Carson Wentz, for 11-2 in 2017. We couldn't have won the Super Bowl without you. Thank you very much. But everything else about this guy in his career has been dog poop. Everything.
Really? 2016 was dog poop.
Yeah, they were 7-9. It was his rookie year.
Okay. He played really well, gave you hope for 2017.
I'm also talking about all of the reports, and you say this is all old news, but the problems that he had here in Philadelphia from an attitude / leadership / whatever you want to say is personality.
Okay, Rex.
He went to Indianapolis, which was going to be more his speed, the Midwest. It's more of his kind of people, and he burned out there too. And so much so that they're not giving him a second shot.
Because they're of not, the drunken idiot owner.
Listen, the whole
had nothing to do with
the whole
completely.
You're like, it's just, it's the owner. It's the, you sound like.
I'm not saying that Carson wasn't an issue. I'm just saying that I guarantee you if Jim Irsay would have just kept his nose out of the, where it doesn't belong and let his general manager and his head coach, like you expect it for everything to just go correct last year and for you to win a Super Bowl with what you had.
Hold on. Yeah. They had the most Pro Bowl. And I know you don't, Pro Bowls don't mean anything. Pro Bowlers are generally good players. They led.
Mitchell Trubisky's a Pro Bowler.
Carson Wentz isn't.
Carson Wentz was a Pro Bowl in 2017.
They have a great offensive line, a great defense. They have great players on that team, the best running back in the league.
Okay.
The weakness of the players. Okay. And it's not 100% on Carson Wentz, but you're just saying it's everyone else around him.
I didn't say it was everybody else. I'm not saying that he's not culpable for his share of the responsibility. But if you look at it with Jim Irsay, now you've got nothing. Now the best quarterback on your roster is Sam Erlinger. Like, really?
Where's Curtis Painter?
Like, what's your plan? You don't have a first-round pick. You can't draft a quarterback. You're going to trade for Jimmy G? Is Jimmy G better than Carson Wentz right now? Did anybody watch the playoff games? I did.
He stinks.
Jimmy G stinks. And you're probably going to have to trade another first-round pick, which is next year's first-round pick, to get Jimmy G away from the Niners.
I mean, I'm looking at a Indianapolis Colts beat writer here from The Athletic, okay? And it says right here, while the team's chief decision makers know there are issues beyond the quarterback spot that need to be addressed, they felt they couldn't move forward with Wentz, prepared to eat $15 million if they didn't get this trade.
Right.
The Colts' divorce with Wentz was this offseason was only a matter of time. They were moving on from Wentz, period. The quarterback who learned he was on shaky ground with the organization tried to reach out to Irsay to clear the air. This wasn't the owner. This wasn't the owner and Frank Reich. This wasn't the owner and Frank Reich and Chris Ballard, the GM. This was an organizational decision to get away from him as quickly as possible. And you're saying 27-7 and he wasn't that bad. And it was just the last two things. at some point, it's on Carson Wentz. He's on his third team in three seasons, and all because of him. It's because of his play and his lack of coaching and his locker room problems and everything that was said here. He just moved it to Indianapolis, the leader, and they lessened it.
The leader of the team, the legit leader of the Colts, Darius Leonard, said, good luck, my guy. My guy.
Listen, you listen.
My guy. I mean, like,
how do you read that?
You act like everybody in the whole locker room is in mutiny against this guy. Like, to me, it starts with the owner. The owner is the reason why he's now in the business position that he is in. Like, the fact that you have to make your head coach apologize.
Jim
Irsay
Jim Irsay did not lose to Jacksonville
in
week 18.
Jim Irsay is the one that probably.
If they beat Jacksonville in the final week of the season, Carson Wentz is still a Colt.
Jim, no. I still don't believe that.
I think
Jim Irsay, they already said that no matter what happened, he was already out
of
on
him. Of course they were going to say that.
Jim Irsay.
They're not going to point it on one game in public.
Jim Irsay is trying to be a big city owner in the NFL when you're out in the Midwest. And this guy has had issues, his own personal issues. And if he really thought enough about it, he would have given it more of an ample opportunity than one season for it to last.
Sack is on fire. I disagree with him completely. He is wrong. We're going to get back to it on the other side right here on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports again. Gambler. We're talking NFL news. We're just getting heated with the Wentz discussion, Aaron. And I'm going to end this with, you know, I'm taking the place of Quimby until Quimby shows up later on today. So I'm going to end it with this. I think that Darius Leonard tweet was more upset about having five quarterbacks in 5 years, not like Wentz was his man. Now, Wentz is the current guy. And he's like, we're doing this again. We're going to find someone else again. He's a player. He doesn't want a replacement guy to come in because they have to start this up all over again. So there's other kind of factors here. But
bring back Andrew Luck.
That was the Indianapolis
bring
side.
Bring him back.
Let's talk about the Washington, D.C. side. Okay? The Washington Commodores. Or the Commodes, the Commanders.
Commodes.
Commies.
Commodores.
Did you see – what was it? The greatest thing was, I don't know exactly which, but it was not Twin Spires, so I don't want to mention them. But the Washington Super Bowl odds went from 60-1 to 75-1.
I think
minutes after being.
Yeah, I think they were expecting Washington to land another quarterback, maybe Russ, maybe. But I don't think. I don't think your Super Bowl odds are better with Taylor Heineke at quarterback than if Carson Wentz is at quarterback. I just think. They were kind of lingering in that area because they were expecting them to make a big move. And fortunately for us and unfortunately for them, it didn't happen.
I mean, I understand your point about, you know, him going over there, but they're paying there's two more years, but he's paying their full salary this year with the roster bonus whenever that's due March 19th. Two third round picks. How funny is it? Going back to my comment about, you know, well, it's going to be more comfortable in the Midwest and Indianapolis and these people are on my speed and I can hunt and stuff. Now he's back. And the Northeast Corridor in Washington, close to Philly here.
Has to play here.
I mean, thank you. The Indianapolis trip kind of takes a little step down since we're not, you know, we're going. From what I hear, it's a quaint little town, lots of bars right around the stadium. That will be great. We'll drink and have a good time. But now it made the D.C. trip, you know, one of the prime trips for us here, because in the past years you go there once, that's kind of all you really need, unless it, you know, means a playoff spot or something. But now we get to go down there and get our boo voices together in unison and boo this guy. They'll have to announce the defense first in Washington when they play Eagles. Sam,
that game is going to be later in the season because it's divisional. I mean, it's going to be so
right.
That's if he's still playing.
Listen, right. NFL schedule makers, if they're smart, yeah, you guys saw my Facebook post, tweet about it. If you're smart, Sunday Night Football to start the season has to be the Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles, because listen, say what you will about Carson, but we know that his health can be an issue at times. You have to capitalize on that very moment. The first Sunday night, because obviously the Rams are going to have Thursday night to themselves. It's too good for a Monday night game. You have to put it on Sunday night. It has to be. The world has had enough Giants at Dallas on opening Sunday night. Nobody cares. Both teams suck. I know both of our teams are
there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hey! Well, hold on for a second. They're sick of that NFC matchup, so we put the lesser NFC matchup
but this
on.
Is must-see television because it's going to be insane. You're going to want to put – you're going to want Eagles fans being out there from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, drinking all day, carrying on, and being belligerent, and you want that – that's must-see television. Has to be on Sunday Night Football week one.
That is a very good point. And Sam, we keep playing Washington week one in Washington. There's like two times in 4 years. So it's time that they come back up here, you know, and do it here at home.
I just can't see it happening in the beginning just because it's divisional. I can't see it happening in the beginning in general.
We did it in 2020 and 2017.
They normally do that.
Every few years, but then always towards the end of the year, you're combined.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll go on the road at the end of the year, I guess.
You know. They normally try to save like three or four of them towards the end of the season, but you normally get a couple at the beginning. There's sometimes where teams play in week one and week 18. It's awkward how they set up the schedule.
Well, I'd rather see that than two divisional games or three divisional games all the last three games.
Especially in our division. Because it's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold here. It's cold in D.C. It's cold in New York or North Jersey.
Well, I think they bunched them up at the end of the year the last couple of years, too, because it's such a compact division that literally all four teams are going to be in it by the end of the season.
Not the Giants or Washington.
Washington
might be. And then Carson Wentz
Washington just won the division 2 years ago.
I just thought about this because not only does Carson Wentz have to play us twice next year, okay, he has to return to
Indianapolis.
And then he has to play the Jaguars and Doug Peterson in Washington. If you're the schedule makers, you make week 18, Carson versus the Jaguars.
Maybe even week one
more time.
And then come up here. You know, do something like that.
I'll tell you right now, I don't care what week that is, I ain't watching it. Washington and Jacksonville.
It'll be on television.
Dougie P. Actually, to tell you the truth,
they'll exchange pleasantries, and then it's going to be crap football for 3 hours.
Is it Washington at Jacksonville or in Washington?
No, Jacksonville's at Washington.
Okay, that sounds like a Thursday night special. That sounds like a Thursday night.
You're not wrong.
Jacksonville, or is it? It could be maybe one of the London games or UK games. I don't know.
Who cares?
Any other thoughts? We're gonna come back to Carson Wentz when we talk about our NBA segment. But any other Carson Wentz as from a football perspective, sack slash
no. Sam, I was gonna say let's get to the big one here.
The big one, the Russell Wilson.
The big signing, but like, I'm
big trade.
The other big trade.
Big trade. The other big trade this week, quarterback movement. Russell Wilson to Denver for Drew Lock, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, two firsts, two seconds, and a fourth. I believe a fourth goes from Seattle to Denver.
It was actually a fifth.
Okay.
And then a fourth, and Russell went to Denver.
I love how you put an E at the end of Luck. Drew Lackey.
Well, that's his name.
Drew Lackey.
No. There's no E on the end?
No.
That's like trying to put an A on
like
the
Joe
end
Dirt.
Of Noah Fant.
Joe Dirtay.
Noah Fanta. Noah Fanta.
No, Lock. No. I thought there was. Can you check that, Sam? Yeah. What are you doing here anyway? Except you're supposed to be our fact checker here.
He knows he's wrong, so that's why he's yelling at Sam.
My first question about this, I want to hear what you like. I get that Russell Wilson wanted to change the scenery. It seems like it was about time for both parties, the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. Why go to the AFC West with Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, who've been in the AFC Championship game the last 5 years? I mean, why go to the AFC West? What are your thoughts on? Because he had a no trade clause, so he had to approve whatever trade was there.
Derek Carr is the worst quarterback in that division,
and he'd be the best or second best in
a lot of other ones. Yeah.
Correct.
So, Sack, if you were Russell Wilson, what do you think?
Real quick, why don't you check the spelling on that?
I can't spell Drew Lock.
There is a lock out there with an E at the end, though. I think
I was saying all along when Aaron Rodgers' talk was about him going to Denver. Right. I mean, that was the rumor for a while. They hired his offensive coordinator from Green Bay. I believe his quarterback coach from there became the offensive coordinator for the Bears. Something like that. But a couple of the assistants wound up going to Denver along with his offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. I said it all along. Why would you go to that division? It makes no sense. I mean, you got to deal. Now the Russ is there too. It's now the toughest division in football. And now you're probably looking at, we just had breaking news before we went on here. Khalil Mack is about to be traded to the Chargers. It makes it even more difficult out there as well. it just waters things down in the NFC just a little bit more, right? I mean, if you look at the quarterback play, the two guarantees that you now have in the NFC are the defending Super Bowl champions with Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers is back with Green Bay. You know Dak Prescott is a choke artist in Dallas. They do it every single year. It's Jimmy G. Even if Jimmy G or Trey Lance, Trey Lance's first year starting with the 49ers, if Jimmy G's not there, but we saw what Jimmy G did. And then Kyler Murray, do you want to be here? Do you want to play baseball? Do you want to be traded? I want to be here. I want a big money deal. You put out that pathetic statement from his agent. The NFC is so wide open right now. Why wouldn't you want to go to one of those teams that, like, there's some teams in the NFC that have talent, but do they have the cap space to be able to handle his big money deal, especially in Tampa? Tampa would have been the place that I would have went if I was Russell Wilson.
Yeah, NFC South?
I mean, NFC South is complete garbage. It's going to be even more garbage now that Brady retired. This is why I'm saying I don't believe Brady's officially done.
He's going to San Francisco.
I'm telling you right now, I don't believe.
Sam is
You mean
someone get the mops out over here. Sam is going
I don't want to take the attention away from Russ here, but if you're Tom Brady and you just retired and you're looking at the fact now Russ is out, Russ is no longer cooking the NFC, why would you come back? The NFC is wide open, wide open. There's two teams, and if you go back to Tampa, they just franchise tag Godwin. So another one of your weapons is back. Unbelievable.
What if he goes to San Francisco?
But remember what Bruce Arians said at the Combine. Yeah, it's going to take five first-round picks to trade. Why would you allow the greatest quarterback of all time? But, Slash, what do you think?
I was going to say, well, for Denver, if it wasn't such a sparkling destination because they are Super Bowl ready, we've been saying this, they are Super Bowl ready, they just need the quarterback. They have, what, two, three good receivers, at least two.
Patrick, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy.
I forgot about Patrick. They got three.
Yeah.
They got a dynamic duo in the backfield. They still have a good defense. There's rumors that Von Miller is going to be back.
Their
too.
Offensive line is always good.
Their
zone blocking scheme that they have out there.
Yeah, new coach. It is a good destination to be at. Now you do look at the factor that the AFC West is tough as hell. But I mean, what, Russell Wilson's not going to go there because he's afraid of competition. As long as he has a good team around him and has a chance to win a Super Bowl, I think that's worth waiving the no trade clause.
Are any of you guys concerned, or I know you're not really concerned, is there any thought that after last year? Any thought that Russell Wilson is on the decline?
Is he cooked?
I'm devastated.
Not cooked. Is he on the decline?
No.
Okay.
No, I saw somebody try and compare him to going there to, and I know they did the same thing with Wentz going to Washington, but McNabb going to Washington. This is the moment. Like, no, he went to Washington to die. That's pretty much what McNabb went on to do. I know he played 1 year with the Vikings, but he went to Washington to die. Russ is going to Denver to succeed. That division, remember now, there's three wild card teams. That whole division can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
they
crazy.
Almost did last
crazy
year.
To think yeah. about, but
Denver, when we played Denver, what was their record?
I think seven and 10.
But when we were there, they were like 7-4. They were rolling when we were out there in November.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was like, oh, this is going to be a tough game.
And they almost beat the Chiefs both times. And they almost did it with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater.
Who? What was that guy? Woohoo! Get the gallo in there.
Teddy!
I think what's interesting about this trade is, you know, it's funny. The NFL is why we love the NFL, besides just the football, besides the tailgating and the drinking and the camaraderie, is that the turn, and not necessarily the entire roster turnover, but there's only 17 games. Every game matters, and you know, a couple injuries here and there propels you to the playoffs or prevents you from the playoffs. And we just saw the Rams last year, you know, F them picks, Les Snead, F them picks, goes after Matt Stafford, who they believe is the missing piece.
Right.
Matt Stafford had a good year. He wasn't Patrick Mahomes or anything. He was better than Goff, and that got him into the Super Bowl and won. Going into the playoffs, was anyone like, oh my God, the Rams are unstoppable? No, they could win. We thought they could win, but we weren't, you know, all in. Now, this move right here, this is something where the question marks, what'll be fun to see are with Russell Wilson. Was it really just, you know, he had a broken finger on his throwing hand last year, His numbers were good before this injury.
He came back early from that, too.
Yeah, he came back early.
Yeah.
Is he going to run a little more? Because he was giving up on the running. And Denver gave up a lot of value to get Russell Wilson.
Because Denver's simply all in. It's Super Bowl or bust.
I get it. And what happens, though, if it doesn't work, they're going to be, you know, in 2 years, they'll have all these picks again, and they're not going to be good, and you go through it again. So from an Eagles perspective, right, from an Eagles perspective, we got Jalen Hurts. Is it something where, hey, man, this is the cost of doing business, just like the NBA, so to speak. If you don't have a super-duper star, you're really not going to be competing for titles. Quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. You know, is this something where I'm not saying we're going to load up. There isn't anyone to trade for right now for the Eagles.
And I don't think any of us want Deshaun Watson.
But is it something where next year, whether it's a rookie on a rookie contract or someone else that's disgruntled, I don't know who that might be.
It'll be
somebody. This something where, hey, you know, the cost of doing business is basically the front ends of two straight drafts to get a guy to put you over the edge. So that's the whole Denver experiment. It's going to be interesting to see how it works out.
The thing is, I look at it, I hear what people say and how they want the Eagles to go out and make a splash. Like, yes, it would be awesome if they would have traded for Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. If all this crap wasn't behind Deshaun Watson, I think we all would have been behind any of those moves. But this team is not a quarterback away. You know, everyone says, oh, you can build up around the quarterback once you get him in through the door. These quarterbacks don't want to wait. Rodgers is at 37. A lot of times when these guys want to leave their situations, they want to leave for a better situation than what they currently have. None of these guys were looking at the Eagles in a serious manner saying, that's a better situation than what I have in Seattle or what I have in Green Bay. It was not happening. You needed one of these guys to sit there and say, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. And it wasn't happening. They weren't going to do that. I look at it now, and we just saw a little bit earlier here, the Eagles had a deal in place for Calvin Ridley with the Falcons. The sad part is, from what you hear coming out of Seattle right now, is they're not interested in dealing either DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett.
I thought they were interested in dealing Lockett.
Maybe it's Lockett, you know, but I saw that they weren't interested.
DK, I don't think so.
They weren't interested.
Lockett was.
There's no point in having a great wide receiver or a great wide receiving duo when Drew Lock is your quarterback, or if you draft at 9, Malik Willis. So there's no point in those guys being there. If you're going all in, go all in.
There's no point in having a burner like Lockett when you don't have a quarterback with a strong arm.
Let's take this on the other side. I do want to talk about the Eagles and what this means on the draft. But before we get there.
Okay. Greater Philadelphia Health Action, GPHA, providing medical, dental, behavioral health, pharmacy, and child development services for over 50 years. Full family care for the entire family, prenatal, pediatrics, adults, specialty services, and more. COVID-19 vaccine and testing available, even though it doesn't look like we need it anymore. 11 locations throughout Philadelphia, over 85,000 patients, telehealth and on-site appointments available. Schedule an appointment today, 1-888-296-GPHA. Website for more information on services and a complete list of locations, www.gphainc.org.
We'll be right back on the other side with some talk on the Eagles and the rest of the NFL news from the week. Back on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, the Gambler in Philadelphia. We're talking NFL. Now we're going to be talking some birds. There was a lot of movement this week. Some big names and some lower names. We'll get to them in a little bit. Some interesting cuts from Green Legion Radio's favorite position at linebacker. We'll see. I'm going to test
quarterback and defense.
We're going to test the running back and defense, running back and linebacker. That's what we talk about here. I want to know you guys on some of those potential opportunities. But the birds, you know, Jalen Hurts. Sack, you were talking about before, and you could build up the team around the quarterback. Jalen Hurts, I love the guy. I love everything about him, but you saw, like, could Jalen Hurts go toe-to-toe like the Mahomes-Allen playoff game? Would he be able to play?
did you watch the playoff game against Tampa?
I mean, did you see the
– just answer your own question.
Did you see the secondary coach yelling at his team that he can't read?
Yeah, but – is that in the moment, or you can't read, you can't, he can't read our defense at this very moment, or he can't read it at all?
I think this is kind of,
I don't know what he was saying, but I don't think he can read it at all.
Listen, that's going back in history. I know that that's what, I remember seeing, I don't know, it's probably online somewhere, but when Patrick Ewing visited Villanova in whatever, 1983, there was a fan that held a sign that said, Patrick Ewing can't read this. Terrible thing to say. Pretty funny, but wrong. I think.
Can we get him over to the Wells Fargo Center tonight? Yeah. Just to cross out Patrick Ewing and put Ben Simmons?
Because that's going to be another grievance.
Yeah, that'll go into grievance. We have to be on our best behavior. No, but Jalen Hurts, the thing is, though, that was kind of one of his, like, you know, every prospect. I know you believe Carson Wentz is the perfect player and is perfect.
Never said
that. Is really great at everything, and it's all of the people around him. But
I just don't understand the hatred that people have for him in the city. It makes zero sense.
We'll get to that if we have time at the last segment when we compare our two favorite villains that are now in division. But the Jalen Hurts, one of his knocks has been doesn't read the field. He doesn't read the field. It's just one of his knocks. Now, doesn't mean he can never do it. But generally, you know, he just had his first full season as a starter. We hope it improves. The good thing with Jalen Hurts is we believe we're not in the room, but it sounds like he accepts coaching and is always trying to improve, which is something we saw with our little guy, Tyrese Maxey. He's probably 6'2". He's probably taller than all of us. But, you know, we'll say Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah. Well, they said AI was 6'2". And
No,
that's not true.
He's 5'10 at best. I've stood next to him. He's one of my best friends. I stood next to him.
I saw the picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've hung out a couple times down there at the Wells Fargo Center. We have a good time
meeting.
I haven't seen him, though, in like 3 years or something, 4 years.
Yeah, you guys are real good friends.
Yeah, well, you know, COVID, I had a kid. I moved out to the suburbs, you know.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah, it's all those things.
You were kind of already in the suburbs. You were out in Conshohocken.
Conshohocken is...
It's not like you were hanging out in Old City with AI.
Conshohocken is an exurb. It's not necessarily a suburb. It's an exurb. It's a little bit outside. It's a little older. And, you know, he lived in Gladwin. Hey, I think he threw his wife out of the Marriott in Conshohocken or something like that. There was something.
There is something.
He showed up there. Why don't you showed up there with a gun or something.
Try and find that old report, too, to go along with the Darren Sproles.
I told him just to wait a night to sleep it off and, you know. He didn't listen to reason here, but
right. Pissed them off even more.
We're talking about the value here of quarterbacks and the Eagles. And listen, there's other needs. You are absolutely right. This is how I'm approaching this draft, and I'm bringing it to the draft. You know, Green Legion Radio, we know everything tailgating. We know everything travel. We know everything party. Uh-huh. We do not pretend to know all of these. We didn't go down to the Senior Bowl. We're not at the combine. Uh-huh. And listen, even the people that do that, they're clueless too. They're all clueless. Each team has their own scouting department, their own front office personnel, mm-hmm. and they do their own evaluation. So I'm not going to tell you which guy they should pick at 16 and 18 and trade back to 23, but I will say this. I believe the Eagles will not make three selections in the first round without trading back. I think they're not going to hold pat. And I think what they're going to look to do is pick up more draft capital for next year when it's supposedly, we don't know, a better quarterback draft. They are always going to be looking to upgrade a quarterback with Jalen Hurts as he currently is as a quarterback.
There's a couple things I want to see them do. I mean, if they wind up drafting with all three, they draft with all three, but that's because they didn't get value in return for what they thought those picks should be. I wouldn't mind seeing them take a couple of them and trade up in the top 10 and get more of an elite prospect and make sure you get two players there in the first round. I wouldn't mind if they take one of those picks and they trade it, for another, you know, maybe like a third round pick this year and another first round of next year. So you can add to your draft capital.
That's what I feel.
Yeah. Like, I don't think any of us or anybody listening to us right now has full confidence and trust in Howie to draft three players in the middle of the first round, which if you look historically in Eagles history, we normally don't do well in the middle where there's not an obvious pick, right? So
hello, Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
Hello, Jerome McDougal.
Jalen Reagor. Yeah, someone needs to steal that belt from you from 2 years ago.
Well, listen. I don't pretend to know anything about these prospects. Yeah. I just said this is who the Eagles are going to pick.
You knew that stupidity was coming.
Yeah. I knew that. Like,
Andre Dillard.
They want speed. This is where they're going to go.
Yeah. So these are all examples of what the Eagles have done in previous years in the middle of the first round. I wouldn't mind seeing them do any of that. I just think for the first time in a long time, and I know the Eagles have had opportunities in the, at the beginning of draft, it's nice to have options. And it's nice to be excited about the draft because the Eagles are, in my opinion, they're going to add two players in the first round. They're going to get two first round talents. It's just what they're going to do with that other pick. If I'm Howie, I take one of those first round picks and you shop it for sure. But if the Seattle Seahawks are calling and they say DK Metcalf for 16, where do I sign? Because if you're going to find out about what Jalen Hurts really is as a quarterback, and what Devontae Smith can really do when he's not being double teamed all the time, bringing in a talent like that and giving him a target to where you don't have to be completely accurate with it. You just got to throw it within like a 5 foot radius of the guy and let him go get it. I would be excited about that.
I would be too. And their locker should be right next to Jay Jaw if he made the team. If only
Jay Jaw. If they get Metcalf, Jay Jaw and Rager should just pack their bags.
Here's the thing,
there's
though,
no shot they're on the team.
If they made a move like that, and I know the NFL is weird because of value and all that, but because of the salary, and he's going to be due for an extension next year, I think.
Well, this past year was his third year, so this might be his fourth year. And fourth year for a second round pick is your last year. There's no fifth year option.
That's right. So I think it would actually be more, the Eagles would have to get more than just Metcalf. For first round picks are the most prized because of the cost control for the extra year. So anyway, if they did that, if they traded a pick for Metcalf, I still think they try and get another first next year or another pair of seconds this year and next year. They're going to say, and Howie will always say, and I know Sack, you believe everything that you read on Twitter. Everything on Twitter is not always right.
Do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think Howie's going to say Jalen Hurts is our quarterback. We made the playoffs. This will be his second full year as a starter. He's going to say all the right things. But we all know that Jalen Hurts is not, at this point, any type of Super Bowl contending quarterback. I'd like to see how they build the team. When you say build the team around him, I want good players. Now, how the mix is, but I don't want the team to be like,
cater to him and what he does best.
Ground and pound. Right. Like we need some studs, receivers.
You got to get great players in here on both sides of the ball. And you find out like, hey man, it's kind of like what the Rams did with Goff. You know, they gave him the keys. They said, hey, we have Ramsey and Donald on this side of the ball. And on your side of the ball, you've got Kupp and Woods and Akers and whoever else at the time that they had. And they're sitting there going, here's the keys. And then when they found out that he couldn't drive that car, they went and they made the move for a guy that could drive that car. It's the same thing here. There's not enough talent right now to sit there and go, hey, let's go out and trade for Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers and bring him in here so he's completely miserable playing with Diaz, Sack, and Slash.
Division one athlete over here. Division one athlete.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, hey, listen, 1996, 97 was a long time ago.
Take your ping pong paddle and shove it.
Ping pong was IFA. It's not an NCAA sanctioned sport. I was Division I soccer at Drexel University.
How many minutes did you play?
I played minutes. That's right.
Minutes. Minutes. Can you define that for us?
I mean, listen, I don't have enough fingers on my hands to count how many minutes I played.
Well, Abby says that too when it includes foreplay.
Wow. Is that necessary? Is that necessary? Yeah, he's going to get gobbled twice here
Am I getting gobbled on that?
What? No.
No, thank you. Thank you.
I like your comment, though, back to the birds.
I know you do because you know it's true.
Well, it's
the one about the birds?
You're okay with football. You know, I mean, your baseball and hockey is getting by the way, while it's in front of mine, I had to break the news to our good friend Chris Sack today that the Flyers re-signed Risto. Now, we might get there. We don't have a whole lot of time in the segment, but I'm going to end it with this.
We'll do it later.
I'm going to end it with this. I like the idea of giving the keys to Jalen Hurts. It might cost the Birds some wins this year. I mean,
but it's 1 year.
That's right.
They're not Super Bowl ready to begin with as it is.
Give it to him. He needs to learn to throw the ball. He's a great runner. We know that, but that was like the whole team last year, and they surprised us. I thought they had 7 wins. They had 9.
But they beat a ton of bad teams. Almost every bad team that they played, they won.
That's right.
All the playoff-esque teams that they played, they lost.
They're a purgatory team.
I mean, that's what they are.
They're just mid-level.
They made that
But if Hurts takes the next step, listen, is he capable of taking the next step? I don't know. But if he can take the next step, remember, the quality of quarterback play in the NFC is not great. So you can make a move, but the rest of the team around him has to be good.
That's right.
If you're going to take that next step and beat any of these teams.
You need players to make him better, not him to make other players better.
Right.
He's not good enough for that.
And technically, the best quarterbacks, that's what they do. But
yeah,
they got to get uncomfortable and get him outside of his comfort zone. He's going to have to make more than one read and take off. So we're going to hit a little more on NFL on the other side. But before we get there,
Jalen Hurts is a good neighbor. He would be a good neighbor. Just like Dave Veluso, State Farm, you deserve to get good service and great rates at State Farm. We get it, and we're here to help. Because with every State Farm policy, you get good neighbor service, and you get surprisingly great rates. So what are you waiting for? Get going and talk to local State Farm agent Dave Veluso about surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Veluso State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
On the other side, we're going to have some NFL movement, linebackers, wide receivers, and big news out of Dallas. Some interesting, our good friends down in Dallas. So we'll be back right after this. Back on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler. We're talking NFL. We moved past the quarterback. We decided over the break, Aaron Rodgers re-signing with Green Bay. I mean, your favorite.
Yeehaw. I know how much you love Aaron Rodgers, Diaz. Go ahead, talk to him.
Wait. Me? I thought that's Sam Rodgers over here.
I do actually think he is great. For real.
He absolutely is.
He is great.
He is good.
I'm just saying.
He has the same NFC Championship record as Don McNabb, and Tom Brady sucks.
All those things are true.
But listen, Tom Brady.
I thought we were going to talk about
Tom Brady is opening up a store in the Navy Yard, TB12, and we know Sam is going to be there for the ribbon cutting ceremony.
Earlier,
Sam said that she was working the Philly car show today. We know where Sam has been. She's been down at the Navy Yard all week. Yep.
Staying far away from that store. Maybe I'll pick it outside of it.
But Diaz, I'm just looking at your group text thread yesterday. It sounded like you had a little something you wanted to get off your chest about Aaron Rodgers.
I got nothing about Aaron Rodgers.
You said I'm sick and tired of this man.
Oh no, I'm sick and tired of his histrionics and his antics. That's right.
Okay.
I mean,
he does need a haircut.
Darn you with your antics.
He needs to wash his hair and he needs to get it cut.
It's so funny though. He lived through the Brett Favre experience. We all lived through that Brett Favre. Am I retiring? Am I not retiring? The dude is 13. They win. He's back-to-back MVP. They win 13 games every single year. That doesn't guarantee a championship, but it guarantees you a home playoff game, at least in the first round, if not a bye.
That division sucks. You're 5-1, 6-0 starting every year.
Listen,
before you play a game.
He's great. You know, NFC championship game experience, you know, notwithstanding. Where was he going to go? Denver. This is it. You got Devontae Adams. He's franchised. They're going to come back for another year. Super Bowl or bust, and then retire and never show up again.
Lose to Jimmy G at Lambeau.
Do they keep Jordan Love for one more year?
Actually, what I think Indianapolis should do is trade for Jordan Love.
Ooh.
If they feel like he is, because now this deal, we're recording Thursday. This is airing Saturday. We're not exactly sure of the Aaron Rodgers contract. We'll say initially it was 4 years, $200 million, but then there's always like, what's the signing bonus? What are the guaranteed years? What are the base salary?
Lowers his cap hit.
What's voidable and da, 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 da. So we don't really know how much it is, whether it's really technically a 2 year deal or a 3 year deal. It's more than 1 year. You got Jordan Love. You're going into year three of this with Jordan Love. And I get it. The future, they did this before. But if you want to win another championship with Aaron Rodgers and he's an asset that's sitting around that's not contributing, which is why Aaron Rodgers was upset they drafted him in the first place. You know, if Indianapolis has any picks left,
maybe a second.
Yeah. A second. I don't know. 2 seconds.
Maybe one of the thirds that you just got.
A second and a first round pick 2 years from now. I don't know. I don't know the value. I don't know my value chart out, but I think that would be an interesting move. Green Bay goes in for this year. It gives up their potential future. Indianapolis gets someone that they believe in. We'll see.
Is Drunken Ursay going to sign off on that?
First off, I'm going to have to disagree with that comment. It's not Drunken Ursay. He takes a lot of pills as well.
That's Ursay.
So it's pills.
He's a big fan of the gummies.
It's the Mick. Well, no, he's a lot of pills. Didn't he get pulled over with like 300 pills?
Pills are good. Pills are good.
Sam, what are your favorite pills?
I don't take anything. I'm very good at everything. I'm clean. I'm good. I barely drink.
God, you're so boring.
I know.
you are a lush.
A horrible.
All right, that's a good segue into defensive.
Let's talk. This week, again, recording Thursday, airing Saturday. We're not sure of this. Our good friend, though, Jordan Hicks, cut from the Arizona Cardinals.
He played every game in Arizona.
It's not fair.
Super Bowl, Eagles Super Bowl champion linebacker Jordan Hicks cut. Do we want him back? Sack.
I would do it.
Back sack.
I would absolutely. Who's better on this team?
Well, how about Bobby Wagner, also cut from Seattle? He hasn't resigned.
I would do anything to sign Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, but you would do anything?
Wow. Anything.
That sounds intense.
Do we have a
including? including sign Landon Collins too, who also seems to be he's going to get the cut from Washington. But again, who do we have that's better?
Bobby Wagner's going to a team that's ready made.
I believe he has to. Yeah.
10 years in the league, he's going someplace he has a
shot.
They
got to have the cap space, though, because he's been in the league for a while, but he's still playing like he's in his prime.
Absolutely. Beast. Yes.
I believe that the Eagles are going to re-sign Fox Sports The Gambler's own Rodney McLeod. We're going to have a Rodney McLeod show next year. It's my prediction. I don't have any inside information.
I was going to say, have you been talking to the
Gerald?
I love Rodney. I do. I really, really do. He's shot. He's got nothing left, man.
It's the injuries.
Yeah.
He can still play. The injuries kill him.
No. It was his secondary coach, and it was his head coach, and it was the owner. It was the owner that brought him down. I'm trying to sound like Zach here, defensive moves for his buddy Carson Wentz.
A lot of excuses.
Now, excuse maker Chris Sack over here, I believe, makes excuses for Carson Wentz because I think maybe, like, it's your son's namesake, and you just want to make sure Carson Wentz is remembered.
It has nothing up to do with it. It's just everybody in this city tends to forget the fact that you can thank your only Super Bowl championship. You know, he had a part in that.
Yeah, he had a part.
Everybody acts like this guy is Ben Simmons, who did nothing when he was here.
Hold on for a second here. Hold on.
Nothing when he was here.
You want to go into this now?
Nothing when he was here.
You want to get rid of the Jerry Jones and Mike Williams comments?
I don't care about Jerry Jones' 25-year-old daughter.
Listen, this is the thing. I don't think Ben Simmons did a whole lot here. I don't think. I'm not trying to defend Ben Simmons. All right. He's a loser. He has loser mentality. Uh-huh.
And nobody's trying to defend Ben Simmons.
He ran away and hit. he ran away and hit here.
Touche.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing here. He did perform here. He did not shoot. He never shot. And he ran away from the city, the fans, which is exactly what Carson Wentz did. When the going got tough and he didn't want to take the heat, Carson Wentz demanded to be traded. Carson Wentz was the worst quarterback in the league. Now, I haven't forgotten about 11-2, and he was a part of the Super Bowl year. We wouldn't have won without him. Uh-huh. He didn't win it. You're like, he won the Super Bowl. No, he was a part of it.
We wouldn't have gotten there without
him. Thank you very much.
Okay. That's right.
How many seasons?
Super Bowl would have not existed without Carson.
Yeah, you're being hypocritical on yourself. He was a part of the Super Bowl. Ben Simmons was not part of anything.
Hold on for a second. But that's all that he did. He had 13 games.
That he did was become part of history in the Philadelphia Eagles.
He was a part. When we talk about the Super Bowl year, we talk about Nick Foles.
Yeah,
we talk about Nick Foles.
How many seasons has Nick Foles started and finished? How many, Diaz? Zero.
How many has Carson Wentz?
Two.
And he was the worst quarterback in the league.
Three, if you're including last year.
Nick Foles doesn't have the opportunity if it isn't for Carson Wentz.
Hold up. I am not saying that Carson Wentz has nothing to do with it, all right? But I'm just saying
you're drawing comparisons between him and Ben Simmons.
No, I'm not. I'm saying they both, when the going got tough, they both ran away. They both ran away.
Yeah, actually, but the only thing is one left the trail, the other one didn't. Ben Simmons didn't leave anything here. Carson Wentz
We have James Harden.
I'm talking about championships. And success in the city.
When we talk about is it Carson Wentz's statue down at the link? We talk about the championship.
No, but the championship down at the link isn't there unless it is Carson Wentz.
Listen, Carson Wentz played great.
So we shouldn't give Jason Kelce credit because he doesn't have a statue down at the link?
Come on, you know that's not what I'm saying here. You're twisting what
Solid work. Yeoman's work right there, Slash.
13 games out of 50.
Got to twist. 11-2.
And you know what? And when the going got tough, he gave up on the whole town. He did exactly what Ben Simmons did.
Listen,
he
here's
did
the thing.
Same exact thing.
Here's the thing. He played that season in 2020. Okay. He was benched during the Green Bay game. Every single game after that Jalen Hurts started, every single time you saw a TV timeout, who was right there alongside Jalen Hurts?
Oh, my God. Oh, Who was right there? The excuse maker
And he kept his demands.
What a great teammate. All these reports in multiple cities are wrong. Carson Wentz is a great teammate.
At least the guy showed up.
He ran away.
Ben Simmons didn't show up until he started losing checks, and then he still wasn't hanging around at practice.
Well, listen.
Maybe, my thing is, I'm not saying Wentz whittled his way out of here the same way Simmons did. I'm just saying.
They did the exact same thing.
I don't think they're on the same level.
They did the exact same thing.
Ben Simmons is going to go down as one of the most hated Philadelphia athletes of all time.
Absolutely.
Carson Wentz, you can't even put in that category.
Thank you.
Because of that, but he did the same exact thing.
And he did not do the same exact thing. The only difference is... He had some sort of dignity when he left here. Ben Simmons had zero dignity.
Ben changed his number, ignored teammates, didn't show up until he started losing checks, created a fake mental health issue.
Cried because his head coach didn't come out to L.A.
Listen, that all true. What if Carson Wentz just got traded earlier?
What if?
If Carson Wentz had to play, if Carson Wentz was on the 2021 Eagles roster at the beginning of the year, would he have just sat there? That you think he would just sit there? And he would be in the huddle on TV.
He would have been starting.
You think he would have been starting with Jalen Hurts?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Oh my God. we are at a new level of delusion over here on Green Legion Radio. I can't believe it. I'm sorry.
Has Howie ever said that if I was missing fingers or appendages about Jalen Hurts? That's what he said. He's like, oh, well, Carson.
Believe all these press conferences?
I'm just saying.
There's nothing that comes out in a public press conference that means anything from front office people.
All they do is
lie and pander.
He's never compared.
Now, I believe
never
it compared because, him because you fall for all the Bryce Harper pandering and all the pandering that all these people do. It means nothing. It means, listen, James.
What pandering?
Pandering. He's pandering to you. He's telling, Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, I would cut off my face. They traded him the first offer that included a first round pick.
Because he's coming back for a first round.
Kelsey is back, baby.
Is that official as of right now?
Thank God.
That means he signed something.
Jason Kelsey is back. Well, they're going to rework
his deal. Because he heard what I just said, and he wants a damn trophy or a damn statue down by the link.
That's my guy, Slash.
First step after the show today, I'm starting a GoFundMe for a Jason Kelsey statue outside of the link.
We'll have
everybody participate.
I'll throw 20 at that.
Again, recording on Thursday.
Hey, listen, while we're talking about Ben Simmons, listen, we've talked enough football. Okay. Let's dive into the Sixers, man. Come on. It's Ben Simmons night today at the Wells Fargo Center. Diaz, tell me how excited you are. What can we expect? I know, listen, everyone's already going to know what the hell already happened on Thursday night by the time they listen to us from 1 to 3.
Yeah. So everyone right now, we are going in the time machine. It is Thursday.
Yes!
It's an hour and a half before game time.
We're recording actually earlier than we normally would. Yes.
I am sweating already. I'm sorry. It might be the bourbon, but it could be the game that's coming on.
Keenan Harmon asked why there was no in-between music. I'm like, because we mean business. I got to be out of here by 7 o'clock, so my ass is in a seat by 7:30 tonight.
Man, his forehead right now is really...
There's an extra level of shine today.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, everyone is a lot of the national talk. I listen. John Clark had Charles Barkley on his podcast today. It's on TNT tonight, so we get to see the halftime reactions to Kenny.
Did anybody see Shaq and Kenny the other night talking about gas? And Kenny's like, oh man, it cost me $80 to fill up my car. And Shaq's like, oh, that's why you drive it until it's halfway full. Then you put 20 in it to fill it up. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, if it costs 80, you get to half the tank. You're not going to spend 20 to fill it up.
Let's be fair. Has Shaq ever filled a tank on his own?
Dude, Ernie shaking his, did you see that Slash?
No.
You got to see it. It's like 2.5 minutes of gold. But go ahead.
Breaking news. Chris Sack spends his Tuesday nights watching the NBA. Because the NHL doesn't have a watchable product. Excuse me, the Philadelphia Flyers don't have a watchable product.
No, Are you kidding me? He's going to watch highlights from the 09 Stanley Cup tonight.
2010. 2010. 2010. 09 was the first cup for Crosby.
Wow, Ben Simmons night. So earlier today, you guys all see it. Pop on the Twitter machine. Pop on the Instagram machine. I think all those clips that we saw today, earlier today at the hotel, people yelling at him. First off, Ben Simmons, you have terrible choice in representation. They totally embarrassed you. Did you see him getting off the bus holding a basketball? You come back from practice, he's wearing warm-ups back to the hotel, and he had a basketball with him in his hand. First off, you're not even playing because your back hurts. Don't be carrying the basketball because your back hurts.
Which he got cleared for already.
They're gonna work him in starting next week, they said. it's just unbelievable.
I wonder why next week.
But honestly,
how convenient.
Honestly, what we'll see here. I do have a mini. It's a Kaja style thing. I want to hear over and under. These are my lines for the evening. By the time you hear this, tell me. Well, I'll be curious to see what happens.
Yeah,
I have the boos. I mean, it's going to be hard because he's not playing.
Decibel levels.
So they will boo him every time. They'll put him on the camera.
They're going to grill him on the camera every chance they get.
On TV, yes, but on the big
screen.
On
the Jumbotron? I think they will until they might get the, all right, guys.
I'll tell you this. A whole chance to booing. I think there'll be three times as many a-hole chants.
No a-hole chants. It's going to be F. Ben Simmons all night.
That's a good
long.
Call, too. Like, I didn't think of that.
Like they've been doing F. Ben Simmons chants everywhere. Yeah. They were doing an AEW wrestling event months ago.
That is true.
It is going to, it's going to reign supreme tonight tenfold.
Chris Sack was at his son's soccer match on Sunday, and they were raining down that Ben Simmons chant.
No, I'm telling you, I've heard, I've listened to radio all day. Mr. Softy would be a great chant.
Mr. Softy.
Clap, 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 clap.
Mr. Softy.
It would be awesome.
But it's too PG rated for what's about to happen.
It is going to be insane. How long, over under, on how long he's going to last on the Nets bench tonight.
I just thought of it. Like the Skull chant. Soft. That would be good.
It's gonna be insane. Tonight is must watch TV. TNT is loving this matchup. They can't believe they have the televised rights to this tonight. It's gonna be so awesome. I can't wait.
Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, you're playing tonight. And just another game. Listen, this is a media creation and the fans, and that's fine, whatever. We don't really care. Guess what? You should, because it is a rivalry now. You should care. And I hope our guys, and listen, Joel, I heard this on Charles Barkley, John Clark. Great point. Embiid should ring the bell tonight. Embiid should ring the bell.
No,
tonight.
Man, you got to get, what is it?
No, Big Fetty.
Yeah, Big Fetty. To me, that guy has to do it.
He's not.
I was going to say real quick before we, Sack, you put your input in. How do you like that one?
How do you like that, Sam? Oh my God, where's my raincoat?
Leave me out.
Where's my raincoat?
Ben Simmons is such the topic of conversation that you almost forget about the Harden-Durant battle that's going to go on as well. And they're both going to be on the court tonight, but it's the whole Simmons saga that overtakes everything.
Keep this in mind, okay? His two new superstar teammates have been vilified in other cities, NBA cities. Durant was completely annihilated in Oklahoma City when he went back there. Kyrie Irving, he is not a huge, celebrity star or they're not big fans of him in Boston anymore.
He's not beloved anywhere.
Right. It's just, so these guys already know what to expect. I think they have a lot to do with Ben actually being with the team. He wasn't there when they were in Charlotte the other night. They probably had a lot to do. I'm telling you, I think Kevin Durant has a lot to do with the fact that Ben is here tonight. You're going to come with us. You're going to sit on the bench. You're going to take your lickings because you know it's coming. And I want to get it out, done and out of the way before we might have to go back. Because if they win a playing game and then they lose a playing game, if they win both the playing games and they wind up the 7 seed and we're the 2, they have to come here in the first round. So we're going to get this crap out of the way right now, Ben, because that way we don't have to deal with the full onslaught in game one of the first or the second round.
You ever see that?
He knows what he's doing.
See that meme with James Franco with the rope around his neck?
Oh, yeah.
First time?
Yeah.
First time?
I'll tell you this. I don't want to play them in the first round. I don't mind playing them in the playoffs. We're going to have to beat two good teams to make the finals if we make the finals this year. I don't want to start off with Kevin Durant. I do not want
to
start.
I'm just saying it's possible. They're not going to be able to catch up and get themselves into that sixth spot. I don't think they have enough time right now. There's less than 20 games left in the season.
18 games. Yeah.
They need a team to completely in that five or six spot to completely collapse and fall backwards.
They can really
Which one is that going to be?
If they can really get Cleveland, I think that's the option.
Well, they just lost Allen too. Jared Allen is now out for a couple
weeks.
Yeah.
So they might. I mean, and the third Chicago's seed, plummeting pretty well. So they might be in the play-in game when it's all said and done.
The third seed is the one seed. That's how. Like, you know, we arguing about seeding. Listen, we want them to win
every
game.
It's so weird. I forget.
We want them to win every game, but really, the third seed that means you get the sixth seed and you avoid Brooklyn in the first round. So let's continue with more NBA talk. Harden, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons the villain. And so Ben Simmons, we covered the Carson thing, but before we get there.
Listen, we're going to tear down Ben Simmons on Thursday night, but if you want to be built back up, you have to get in contact with our friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry for all your residential contracting needs. This is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off your order, regardless of how much. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656.
Back on Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler right after this. Ben Simmons, the villain. How funny is it? I've got this shirt. I should have worn it today and I forgot about it. I got the shirt my good friend, my best man, Kevin McCluskey, got me way back in 2016. It said, when Simmons make Philly sports great again. This was 2016. God. Yeah, all three things. That political campaign, Wentz
and
Simmons.
You are one pathetic loser.
Is that worse than a Michael Carter Williams jersey that I own and wore once?
I got you both beat. Uh-oh. Dominic Brown jersey.
Oh, wait, like jersey or jersey?
Jersey. Oh, I bought it. I bought it the day that he debuted with his double, you know, in his first at bat. Yes, Dominic Brown. Doesn't get any worse than that.
Michael Carter Williams, though, you could finagle. I mean, that's number one. That's James Harden now. So you can have an old school James Harden number.
Yeah, can I do the duct tape kind of thing?
Yeah, no, that is the worst. I hate it when people do that. It's so bad.
It's pretty bad.
It just never looks.
Just get a new jersey.
Just get a new jersey.
That's right.
I tape off everything but the E and then just write in hard N.
I want to we're going to hit some NBA before we talk about the new MLB season is going to debut maybe on time, a little late, but you know, we'll
just
get
a few
there.
Days,
just
about a week.
Just a few days. Yeah. Guys, I got to tell you something happened to me in the last couple of weeks here. I went to see James Harden and the Sixers play at Madison Square Garden. It was amazing. In person, you know, I watched the other games.
You drove up there?
No, we were a baller. We got a limo. We got a Cadillac Escalade.
Whoa! Whoa!
Yeah, nice. I was riding up the New Jersey Turnpike.
Who paid for Escalade. That? I know you didn't.
Yeah, my buddy.
Quimby?
My buddy. The Knicks fan, buddy. Shout out to Beast. LOL Knicks, LOL Mets, LOL Giants. He's in a bad spot right now. He's in a bad spot. But he was like, I want to get a car.
He's definitely going through a crisis if he's paying for that.
I think the Acela is a little too expensive. I'll take the regular, you know, New Jersey Transit out of 30th Street Station. It goes right to Penn Station.
Right. I've done that a couple times with Flyers.
Nah. He's like, I'm worried about Mass. I want to have beers in the car. I'm like, we'll drink like three beers in the car, max each way, tops. It's in like a 90-minute ride. It's a Sunday morning. No. Sprung for the we have a drive, we have an off Uber driver, but that's what he is. Yeah, drove us there, picked us up on time. Shouts out to Sammy, great driver. I think
Sam, your dad drove him up there?
No.
I thought he only drove you.
I think the hitchhiker double dry hopped IPAs on the ride home. I don't think that was the best idea.
I can't believe how trashed you must have been. Mm. Was Abby upset with you?
We're still married. So, I mean, that's the good news. It turns out
that you left her with the baby all day long.
Yep.
And you came home and you weren't capable to watch your child.
Well, it was like 8:30 at night.
And give her a break.
No, it was 8:30 at night.
I've been there.
It was bad. She says I couldn't talk. I said I could talk. It makes sense in my head.
I've seen you after two bourbons.
I can just imagine how much more annoying you are.
Oh, my God.
Can you mute her? Mute her.
I'm going to mute all of you with the middle-aged talk. Let's go.
Watching the two of them, we'll see what happens with the Brooklyn game.
Some of us are young and thrive.
They've got a tough schedule.
Some of us are younger.
They got a tough schedule down the stretch here. 18 games left, 12 versus. you know, playoff caliber, including like Brooklyn, Clippers, Lakers, the whole East. This is Zach. We joke, fight, seriously fight about NHL, NBA and all that stuff all the time. But like, this is the whole league is really wide open this year.
No, I agree with you.
It's so wide open.
First time in forever.
At least, well, yeah, 1 through 8.
Well, 1 through 6. I mean, if it's a 6 seed versus a 3 seed in the finals, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they're so jumbled together there. I'm not afraid the Heat. Our good friend Louise down there is trying to talk smack.
1 through 9.
I don't even care. But
I want LeBron to lose in the play-in so bad.
What a different. I never thought we could get James Harden for what we got. I thought we'd have to give up everything. Maxi Thybulle, four first round picks, 4 swaps, and Simmons while Simmons was playing. He's not even playing.
That's why this goes back to a couple weeks ago. We were talking back and forth, and people are like, yeah, but like Drummond was such a good backup.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me? Which is true. I wish we had Drummond right now, but we have James Harden, and you and
Seth Curry would fit in so good with
watching it in person in MSG. And by the end of the game, the fans around me weren't too happy just because I was like standing up and screaming for Maxi every time he made a great play. But the first quarter when, you know, that dunk where Harden kind of on a breakaway, so to speak.
Yeah.
There was a hush over the crowd. Like, oh, you know, and when you're in a road stadium and you hear that, great feeling. But I was supposed to go to James Harden's debut last Wednesday, whenever that was, the first, March 2nd. So excited. James Harden's home debut. It was my game versus the Knicks. Oh, can't be anything better. And old man Diaz got vertigo that morning. I couldn't show up. What the hell is going on?
I'm sure Abby slipped something into your Shirley Temple after your excursion to Madison Square Garden.
More middle-aged talk.
I thought I was going to die. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about running backs or 80s music here. I just had a bout of vertigo. It's pretty scary.
It is. It's awful. It's the worst.
I thought I was going to die.
I'd rather have brain surgery.
You have had brain surgery.
I know, and I'm saying vertigo is worse.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But
Diaz, yeah, so let me ask you, actually, because good. You said 18 games left, all against
12 against playoff.
12 level, against playoffs. So in your mind with this new kind of quote-unquote big three that the Sixers have now, Harden trying to really fit in with Embiid and Maxi and Harris, which he already looks like he is, do you
not
find
Harris,
that
but Harris isn't there?
Okay, fourth option, whatever. Do you think it's more beneficial to play these tougher teams? Because let's face it, in reality, they're going to be a home playoff team unless something happens, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. Would you rather them face these playoff caliber teams or have that easy ride to the playoffs where they can gel together more easily?
That's a good point. I think now with Simmons removed, and I said this last year, we wanted to focus on Simmons, rightly so. Doc Rivers, man, he scares me. Doc Rivers is scared.
I didn't even think about Doc Rivers.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
He's one of the top 15 coaches in NBA history.
Get the hell out of here.
Zach, my arms aren't that long, but if I could punch you in the
nose, I almost got away with it, too.
Pumpkin pie haircutted freak. Jeez.
But, yeah, luckily, you know, he did say that he was going to stagger these guys. He has been, which is good. You know, not giving some of the, you know, the younger center, you know, centers we have, DeAndre Jordan, we'll see in a second.
B-ball Paul, baby!
B-ball Paul apologizing for things he said when he was 13 years old on Twitter earlier this week. Okay. That makes me nervous. I don't want losses and schedule losses. Everyone hates that.
Yeah.
No, but like, I'd like to see them try things. And if it ends up that they lose a game because they did something weird, I'm okay with that because
you want to wean out what doesn't work.
Right.
You don't want to play like the Pistons, you know, back to back and like Korkmaz goes off for 30 points each night and be like, all right, you're in a spot in the playoff rotation, and then he gets to the playoffs and plays like he's playing right now.
I got a friend, and, you know, when we lost to the Heat without Harden last Saturday, they're like, oh, I guess the one seed's out. I'm like, I don't care about the one seed.
Who are you talking to that said that?
My old school buddies, the Grays, the olds, my buddies.
You need new friends.
You need friends that actually watch
Sam, basketball. You just need friends, period. And we're the closest things to friends you have.
Diaz should just be thankful he has friends.
I'll let you know right now, if the Sixers lose tonight, Thursday night against the Nets, and they play Brooklyn the first round, sweep.
Sweep.
Right. It's one of the, and I think the first seed doesn't really matter where that's stupid. Of course, you want home court. It's a nice little advantage.
But home court matters. Not necessarily the one seed.
You want them to see what they do against all these other different teams that they're going to have to play at some point in the playoffs.
I know playoffs is what we're really focused on because let's be honest, winning an NBA title, it should be the most important thing. But Joel Embiid still technically right now is the front runner for MVP. However, he has some competition bringing up the rear right now. This could be a very wide, just like the East, this could be a very wide open race down the stretch. Does Harden help or hurt his candidacy? Because Jokic is playing like out of his mind right now. I think he's had like three straight triple doubles. They've won 12 of their last 14. He's playing without his two and his three. Right now, I think you're checking the odds on MVP. And plus, Giannis has been playing nuts too. 39 and 43 in his last two games. The Bucks are starting to, like, the Bucks and Sixers are right there as far as record wise. It's coming down between those three, right?
Funny.
Which is funny. In a league, it's all about guards. Well, it's big men.
You didn't mention DeRozan, right?
Yeah, he's kind of fading.
He's fading because of the Bulls are fading.
Yeah, and he's a top five MVP.
He had a nice 10-game stretch, but I think over the course of his last, he's been like 22-22. I think the other night with the Sixers.
They lost like six or seven straight.
Yeah. And the Sixers have dominated the Bulls this year.
Well, this is a little fun little nugget here. We get to see them at home. Next Monday night, we got a Monday night matchup. We got Jokic.
Give me what you got.
Jokic coming to town. Funny thing, yeah. In this league of, you need a swingman, you need a guard, Steph Curry and all that. The three leading MVP guys are all centers and they're all foreign. There's not the Jokic, Embiid, Giannis.
The Greek freak.
You know, Giannis is a center. He's 7 feet tall. He just can dribble. He's not a good shooter. Embiid's a better shooter than Giannis.
But he's willing to shoot.
Yeah, Embiid's a better shooter than Giannis. Giannis is more, I don't know, athletic or whatever you want
to
say.
Giannis at the free throw line. My God, he takes 8 years to shoot one. It's like, come on, man.
At least he gets to the free throw line.
The question, does this help or hurt Embiid? You know, you look at the metrics, and Jokic has all the advanced stats and kind of thing. But, I mean, Embiid's baskets before, where one of the things I was always worried about are a detriment or a negative to the Sixers making a title run is you can't have a post guy as your go-to guy in crunch time. But when he's getting easy layups and easy looks, live on the foul line. He'll shoot 80%. He gets to the foul line 16 times a game, legitimately too. He's a baiter. He baits players when they're in the,
master of it. Yes.
He's a master of baiting. When the opponent is in the bonus, yeah, do the sweep through and you'll see his
bonus
his game changes. But nice. Yeah, so I think because it makes it easier for Embiid to get easy looks. And sometimes you just look at the box. Wow. Embiid had 40 and 13 on 17 shots. He was eight for 17. He had 40 points. How the hell do you do that? Well, he was 14 for 16 from the line, you know?
Yeah. So it might take a dip in his field goal attempts, but he's still getting to the line. And also it could be a factor because he did dip a little bit when Harden came in points, and we're really nitpicking here, but
what, he went from 36 to 31?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he had a couple back-to-back like 22-25 games, but yeah, then 25, it's starting to come back into reality that it's like, oh crap, Tyrese Maxey needs to have eyes on him because in a blink of an eye he's at the basket. So
he hit five or six threes the other night,
and he's hitting threes. Crazy. Not only that, nobody expected him to be hitting threes the way he is, but you figured he would be able to dart to the basket and get that easy layup. And the fact that he can do both is really the reason why I said earlier in the show, we have a quote unquote big three on our hands.
Absolutely. Here. And Tyrese Maxey, fun fact, efficiency, which is all about, you know, where you're shooting and points. Yeah. He's the third most efficient shooter since Harden came at for the last 2 weeks. Ish.
Yeah.
And it's usually like all big guys, you know, Steven Adams is efficient. Well, just cause he takes six shots and five of them are dunks. You know what I mean?
Sounds like Ben Simmons right around the rims.
Exactly.
Well, let's be honest here. The only thing that is concerning, their defense has been concerning to some point at
first quarter, slow starts.
Or rebounds.
Slow starts.
But defense,
Tyrese Maxey has been a godsend, especially since Harden's been here. But they really need other guys to step up in Harden's presence, because Niang's really coming on strong, but the Korkmazes, the Danny Greens, Tobias freaking Harris, those guys really need to step up, because if you're relying on 80% of your points coming from those three guys in the playoffs, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, I was just about to say. I mean, I think James Harden's, what we figured out here the last couple weeks since he's taken the court, James Harden's sole responsibility is to find some way to instill confidence in Tobias Harris and get him
going.
He's
got to do something. Like, the number four. Do something.
Is Harris, Diaz, like, we see it in sports all the time. When your name is being shopped and you're being bantied about, like, I'm going to be traded here or there leading into a trade deadline, it looks like his name being out there by the trade deadline still is doing harm. Like, a lot of guys are relieved after the trade deadline. But now you're hearing rumors about Bradley Beal potentially coming in and being starting a big three. If that's the case, then Tobias Harris is out. Like, right now, his mindset, someone has to shake him up. Embiid has to sit him down and say, hey, man, like, we need you. I know, like, what was going on with the trade deadline, what the rumors were, what could be in the offseason. Right now, we have a great shot at winning an NBA championship. And I know, let's get to that as we come on to the other side here, because Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more, including the Union, which are back, baby, and Villanova. We got the tournament coming up. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website, even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports.
As you're listening to this, we expect Villanova will be in the Big East Championship in a couple of hours. We got Union coming on in a couple of hours. Stick around. Ooh, we'll be back on the other side. I want to talk about Tobias Harris. We'll be right back. Back on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler. We're going to wrap up with the Zach, you were talking about Tobias Harris. He's got to get it going to get down the stretch run. You're absolutely right. And I agree. This is the kind of problem. Oh man, I don't even want to talk about that, Simmons. But I think what happened is just think about how we got Tobias Harris. We gave up, in effect, three first round picks for him. We gave up Landry Shamet, who was our first round pick that year. The people were kind of, I was high on him. He was shooting threes. He was shoot. Maybe J.J. Redick at the time. We liked him. He's on his 14th.
He's on the Suns now.
I don't know. He went to the Nets and someone else. And
he's kind of leveled out. Because he was really impressive his rookie year, but then it's like what he showed you his rookie year was all he had.
That's right. He's a gun. He can shoot threes.
Yeah.
That's what he can do. Defense, ball handling. That's it. And then we gave up the Miami pick that we got in the Bridges Zaire Smith trade.
Jeez. And
we gave up our own first. So when we did that, and then when Jimmy left, it was like, well, you gave up all this for Tobias. You got to sign him. So I think the big problem with Tobias Harris, just from a fan perspective, is how much he's getting paid and
how much he gave up
and how much he gave up. And that's not the players. The player is the player. The team valued him at that. And that's what they gave him. And hey, as a player and as a worker and a radio host and everything, get as much as you can get your market price. So I'm not excusing him or anything. It's just, he is a slow player. He's so slow. Like, just why he gets the ball and it takes him 2 seconds to figure out what's going on the court. Then he wants to back down. He's always got a mismatch. He's got a guard on him. He backs him down. The court kind of, the defense kind of sort of collapses on him. And then he takes a half a second to figure out where he wants to throw the ball. And it's like this team now with especially with Harden, it's boom, 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 pass, make a move, maxi cut, even Thibault cut. And Harris, like, what they need Harris to do is to be a spot up 3-point shooter. And
the one game he was aggressive in the paint and did put up points. I guess that was because to your fact he was going against guards.
Yeah, right. But it's not like what he needs to do is be a spot up 3-point shooter or be a rebounder. We need rebounding and spot up 3-point shooting.
Right.
He's gone from the big three of the, Simmons, Embiid, Tobias, however we want to pretend that existed.
God, that was big three.
To Maxi was the biggest, was the question mark. What happens? Maxie's not a point guard. You try to have him a point guard in his second year, give him all this point guard responsibility for 50 games or 60 games, however much it was.
Played well.
And then Harden comes in. Well, now you're going to ask him to do something different.
Play off ball.
He's even better.
Yeah.
He's even better.
He utilizes speed, the way he creates his own space.
Oh, it's great.
He never stops moving.
He's
I've watched more Sixers basketball in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, look at this.
I'm dead serious. It's appointment viewing right now. That's what Harden does. That's what we've been talking about all these years, Diaz, is the type of player that you could give. Now, you gave Harden off on Saturday against the
Heat. What did we do?
We gave him off.
Gave him a day off. Sorry. Sam's mind is in the gutter.
So you gave him off that night.
I don't think they were winning that game with Harden.
I don't think so either.
Back-to-back, a schedule loss.
But what happens is they were still competitive in that game until like they really got tired towards the end.
Yeah.
Now you can give him B tonight off, and you don't have to worry about the offensive production just coming to a complete lull. Between Simmons and Tobias, you have a guy that can take control of the game. He can give you 30 and 14. And when I say 14, I'm not talking about boards. I'm talking about assists, dimes. Mm-hmm. The guy can play. It's exciting basketball to watch. It's what we've been wanting. Two stars like this, and there's a potential this offseason where we could get a third. It's awesome.
There's a fun graphic. I don't know even who put it out. I saw it on Twitter. You know, everything on Twitter is true. But it was
at least I believe it.
Most assists by a Sixers player over a 5-game stretch. And it was, you know, there's 20
Mo Cheeks.
It was James Harden, like, was number one by like 10.
East
and he's only played 5 games.
East Snow.
So man,
it's the snowman.
It is wild. It's gonna be great down the stretch. It's a tough schedule, not only the opponents. We have a back to back next Sunday, Monday, Orlando away. Denver at home versus Jokic. The next Sunday,
Harden's going to rest his hamstring against the Magic, right?
I don't know. Is Orlando a town? You see, he took Tyrese out after that Miami game, though. And that's some bonding.
And Niang.
Hey, listen, the timing couldn't work out better here. We're going to re-sign Harden. It's going to be a 5-year deal. It's going to be $300 million. And everyone's going to freak out about it. We got Harden for this year and maybe two. And then, you know, see what's going on. But that's when Maxie takes over. This is going to be it's going to be exciting down the stretch run. I hope we can all celebrate together. Sam, get Big Sam to hook us up with a suite for the playoffs. Green Legion Radio back into the suite life. But
let's just touch on baseball real fast.
Baseball earlier today, this is Thursday, the players and union agreed on a deal. And I'll have to say this. I mean, Sack loves baseball. It's his number one sport. He knows everything about Phillies. I didn't know Chris Sack until about 4 or 5 years ago when we started the show. We had Sack call in, and he was just like, he knows everything about every player and every good fit and who you want as your third reliever and your second middle reliever and all that stuff, righties, lefties. Sack doesn't really believe in the players, though. He believes in the owners. But
this, I believe they both suck.
This deal.
I've been adamant about
this
that.
This deal is inequitable. But it's a big win for the players. This will make the game better. The worst thing about all of this is just the arguing about it. The owners, I don't want to say they caved, but they were willing to give a little bit more on the competitive balance tax, which is a huge issue. The Phillies were like $4 million away from it for the last 2 years. Now it goes up a lot more. The Phillies can afford more. There's another playoff team.
I get it. Just real quick.
Yeah.
All right. This is my point of view on it. Okay.
You hit it. Instead, your baseball man.
Instead of raising the competitive balance tax as much as they did, why don't you put a competitive tax balance floor to where the teams that are getting the reaping the benefits of the Dodgers and the Padres and the Yankees and the Red Sox, like, you know, them spending all the money, you're getting the money and you're pocketing it. Like, they need to have a floor. You need to spend $100 million. The players want to make more money. Make the bottom dwellers spend the money that they're keeping to themselves and trotting out quadruple A baseball teams.
I'm raising my hand vociferously here because of this. That's a great point. That's a great point. And the owners will never agree to the floor without the cap,
which is crap.
Without the hard
Pirates, the Rays, the Marlins,
but those teams have
been
docked. I don't know if it's picks or fines for not spending their revenue sharing on salary. That was announced today.
Yeah,
I heard it.
That's so awesome.
That's good.
But we need to be consistent here.
That's right.
Instead of relying on all these teams, you're raising the competitive balance tax more and more. Like, it's great. But the thing is all these players that are going to want this money are going to sign with the same teams over and over and over again. And every year in the playoffs, it's the Dodgers, it's the Yankees, it's the Red Sox, it's the Phillies. Well, the Phillies haven't in 10 years, but I'm talking like big market money teams.
The Phillies are considered big money.
It's top five. Yeah, top five. Mm-hmm. But like these teams spend all this money. The Cubs, the White Sox, they spend the money, but what it's doing is it's taking the talent away from these. And I know we've talked before about salary cap in baseball. Yeah. It's taking the talent away from these teams that draft these players, develop these players, bring them up only for them to be there for 3 or 4 years before they're traded away. And a lot of it, like, yeah, it's great. I love the fact that Bryce Harper's here, but sometimes it's great to see these players come up through the system and actually get a payoff for the reward, like we did with Rollins and Utley and Howard. Real quick, before we wind up closing up the program, we want to talk about Giroux possibly being traded. They're going to wait until after his 1,000th game, which will be next Thursday against the Predators. That's what they've been waiting for.
Will there be a banner ceremony that day too?
No, it's just he's played all 1,000 games of a career. It's going to be that night.
Zero playoff wins. One playoff win in the bubble.
Okay, all right. Nonetheless, shut your mouth about the Claude Giroux. This isn't Ben Simmons. All right.
They're similar. No.
He's going to be the top available center / forward that's out there.
What can we get for him?
You're definitely going to get a first round pick. You're probably going to get a second or a third to come along with him and a top five prospect to wherever he goes. He's going to go to Colorado, St. Louis.
It's going to be a late first rounder, though, right?
Yeah, but it's okay. Yeah. Like, you can take picks and you can move them around. The part that pisses me off is they should be dumping anything and everything outside of Carter Hart. They should be dumping anything, and they sign Rasmus Ristolainen to a 5-year, $25 million deal. What the hell are you thinking, Chuck Fletcher, you moron? Everything should be for sale this season. You're not going to get rid of Hayes. You're not going to get rid of Couturier because their injury history, same thing with Ryan Ellis. But everything else should have a for sale sign on it. Joel Farabee, I'll include with Carter Hart.
Losing with honor, the Flyers mantra. Hey, stick around. We've got, this is looking into the future here. We got Nova in the Big East championship game. We got the Union coming up right after that. Cross your fingers. Please, everybody, rate, review, subscribe, download the show on iHeartRadio, mobile app, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. For Sackmaster, Sales Guy /
Screw you, Ben Simmons.
Super Sam, this is the founder of Diaz Nation, Philly Mike. Good night, everybody!